Today, we are going to dive into the deep, deep emotional trenches of Alice Cooper's heart. It's only my heart talking. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm great.
How are you feeling this early in the morning?
Pretty tired.
Yeah, I sound, you don't have headphones in, but I sound like I've been gargling with razor blades.
Yeah, I definitely still have morning scratchy throat.
The good news is, instead of like drinking water like most people do, mm-hmm. I've just got my like second cup of coffee.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
I should have slept in for like another hour and a half.
We didn't have time for that.
We do not have time for that because we make sacrifices to put this podcast out there.
For all of you. You're welcome.
All of you, as it turns out, we have a lot of listeners in Japan, which is cool, which is a statistic that I just found.
Yeah.
And Germany.
Yeah, thanks, Japan and Germany, Italy, all of those countries.
And Australia. And it's crazy. It's crazy to me to like find out where these listeners are coming from, mm-hmm. especially considering the fact that like they're the non-English speaking countries.
Yeah.
Because we certainly aren't speaking any other languages.
You actually do speak another language.
Yeah, I did dabble in Spanish a little bit when Chris was on with us,
Yeah, that's true. And I had no idea what the two of you were talking about at all.
They were not Spanish-speaking countries that I was looking up on.
That's true.
So that's... Anyway, today we are going to be getting into one of my favorite genres, hair metal.
Yeah.
And as you know and have known for years, and as our friends all know,
right.
like, I love hair metal.
Right. I used to think that your love of hair metal was, like, ironic in some way, or you loved to make fun of it. And then I realized you had a genuine,
it is
deep
legit,
and heartfelt
yeah.
love of hair metal.
That
when you listen to The Price of Love, you don't think it's silly.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's like, I have all these like, you know, everybody knows like the smash hits of hair metal. Everybody knows like Poison and everybody knows like Motley Crue's big hits.
But go deep.
I go deep. I have these things like cataloged in my brain, which is what brings us to today's song.
Right.
Which is definitely a hair metal power ballad.
Oh, yes.
If ever there was one. But it was not a massive smash. In fact, a lot of people have kind of forgotten that it's out there. We are talking today about the song Only My Heart Talking by Alice Talkin'. Excuse me. Because I guess dropping that G is pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
It was cool in 1989.
That's how you make yourself cool.
Yeah, man.
You drop the G.
Yeah, bro.
At the end of any ing word.
Absolutely. Sing.
Yeah, bro.
You don't say it in sing. Sin.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There are other ones. There are other words that do that, right?
Yes.
Fin-er.
That's right.
Sure.
If you want to make the word finger cool, you just say finner.
And I do.
It took me a minute to figure out what word you were trying to say there.
The joke doesn't work as well out in the world as it did in my brain.
Right.
So,
right.
But yeah, Only My Heart Talking from Alice Cooper's 1989 quote unquote comeback album.
Oh boy.
Trash. He basically talks about how he...
The album's called Trash.
The album is called Trash. And
that's
then he went
wonderful.
On a tour that's called, I think it was Alice Cooper Trashes America.
Because
or something
I don't
like.
Have the same love of hair metal that you do. So the title Trash really works for me.
First of all, how dare you? There's no second ball. So this song was not like a gigantic smash hit. This was a mediocre at best single, and I think it was just kind of like crammed into all like the mountain of hair metal power ballads that were coming out at this time. This is 1989.
Right.
And then you have like monster smashes like Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Right.
And this one, I am certain that this song came out just because Alice Cooper wanted to emulate the style of the time.
Right.
He had put out like a series of not as successful albums. I mean, of course, everybody knows like his, you know, his classic hits, his No More Mr. Nice Guy, his Welcome to My Nightmare.
Didn't he do School's Out for summer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Appropriate for me this weekend.
Right? Maybe we should have analyzed that song, except for the fact that
that song awesome.
Is, yeah. And so then he put out Poison off of the same album. And Poison was a huge hit. Also very, like, hair metal-y.
I don't think I know that song.
Katie, how many times have I played that song for you?
I don't know.
I want to kiss you, but I'm
oh, I definitely
so venomous poison.
Yeah, you know I got song. It. I know that song.
You know that song.
I'm back.
I know you know that song.
Baby, I'm back. I know that song.
So, anyway, this song, or this album, I should say, because I don't have the songs individual sales, but this song, this album was certified platinum, selling a million. The song reached number 89 on the Billboard Hot 100, and it reached number 19 on the Modern Rock Tracks in 1990. And then somehow it charted higher in Australia, but like nowhere else in the world.
Okay.
So I own the cassette single of this song.
Of course you do.
I went out to Sam Goody, and I purchased...
Remember going to Sam Goody?
No, I've forgotten completely. Well. And I purchased the cassette single for probably like $3. And I would just like play it in my bedroom with my other cassette single.
How old were you when you bought it? Did you buy it in 1989?
Yeah, it was either
8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Rocking out to this.
Fudge. Yes, I was.
Rather emotional, touching.
I thought this song. Guy, like, I thought these bands were the coolest, man. Their hair was gigantic. They had like big dangly earrings. You know, like gloves without fingers on them.
Brad was like, when I grow up, I'm going to have fingerless gloves
yes.
and dangly earrings
yes.
all day long.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never got an earring.
No.
I think looking back, that was probably the better decision.
I think you're correct. But, for you.
For me.
You.
It worked for me. But yeah, anyway, so like, as Alice Cooper describes it, he would hear all these like hair metal hit songs on the radio. And then he came to realize that so many of them were written by one man named Desmond Child.
Mm-hmm.
And Desmond Child is a very, very, very big songwriter. He's worked with Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, Cher, Ricky Martin, Selena Gomez, Kelly Clarkson. And the list goes on. I think he's written for Michael Bolton
okay.
as well. And so Alice Cooper hired him to produce the album. And then it came out sounding like all of these other hit rock songs of the time. And this album features, aside from Desmond Child, Diane Warren, who's another gigantic hit songwriter, John Bon Jovi, Steven Tyler, and Joan Jett as songwriters on it as well.
Did Steven Tyler help to write this song?
No, interestingly enough.
Even though he appears in the song.
His vocals go on throughout the song, but mm-hmm. no, he did not write this song. He sang on this song.
Steven Tyler is so sneaky in this song.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was doing the harmonies in the background. I thought he just... Oh, I'm sorry. No, am I too loud?
It's all good. I got it.
Sorry, everyone, that I was too loud. I got excited about Steven
Tyler.
Got excited
about Steven Tyler and Alice Cooper working together.
But yeah, all of a sudden, he just appears at the end of the song and does like the most Steven
crazy.
Tyler vocal you've ever heard in your life. And I was like, what? Steven Tyler just appears out of nowhere. And you're like, no, he's there the whole time. He's just like, you know, subtly harmonizing in the background until it's time for him to fade out. Take the stage.
So Alice Cooper said that they spent like 8 hours in the studio recording Steven Tyler's vocal parts. Because Alice Cooper thinks that Steven Tyler has the best rock and roll vocals, which I'm sure plenty of people agree with. I could have sworn before I read that it probably took about 20 minutes. Steven Tyler, just go in there and just do whatever.
Right.
Just do whatever it is you do.
How? So it was just 8 hours of Steven Tyler going like, yuck.
You bet it was.
And then they just picked the best one.
I wish we had like footage of that.
I could listen to 8 hours of Steven Tyler.
Steven, could we get you to do that again? Just a little.
That was great, Steve. We're just going to need you, Steve. If you could just do that one more time, Steve, please.
I don't think I should do it again. I apologize for doing it.
Wake up the neighbors.
Two times. Oh, I'm really sorry.
So that's good. But this song was written by Alice Cooper and a man by the name of Bruce Roberts, who has written hit songs for Donna Summer, Pointer Sisters, Barbara Streisand, Whitney Houston.
You're just name dropping all day long this morning.
You know what? There's not a whole lot of facts about this.
Like, let me get them all out now.
This song is like drivel. This song is complete drivel. But I love it.
I was going to say, are you going to walk back your love of it now?
No, just because it's drivel doesn't mean I don't love it.
This is why Teresa feels you're a hypocrite. Is this a new thing I'm doing where I just talk about Teresa every time?
Yeah, evidently. I mean,
an episode. Hi, Teresa.
I'm sure this is not the only reason Teresa thinks I'm a hypocrite.
she went off after the last time we recorded an episode.
She had a couple wines.
She was like, how can you possibly talk about how bad all these other songs are when you love all this hair metal?
But I'll tell you, here's my justification for not being a hypocrite, is because, like, just because they're terrible songs doesn't mean I don't love them.
Okay.
And I think that that's why we do this podcast in the first place.
That's true.
Because we love a lot of terrible, terrible, terrible songs.
Yes.
It's just a matter of, like, recognizing quality.
Right.
And
like, I love this song, but I also recognize that it's not a masterpiece.
And you know what would be awesome? If people could recognize the lame qualities of some of their favorite songs, and eventually that helps step up quality a little bit as a result. So,
all right,
boom, serious, got it in there. and with that,
should we actually talk about the song?
We should actually talk about the song. Yeah, that sounds good. Do you mind if I read the chorus?
Don't mind at all.
All right, Alice. It's only my heart talking. Talking. Yeah, it's only my heart talking. Saying things I never thought I'd say. Can't you hear me knocking? I tried to fool you, but it wouldn't play. Because my heart is talking. It's talking. Oh, baby, it's talking. Talking to you. So, what do you think he's trying to say with this one, Katie?
I mean, he's trying to get straight up emotional with his lady.
Sure.
For sure.
His, according to the video, his, like, 19-year-old, like, Playboy model lady.
Right. Very, very blonde.
Very blonde. Very into old dudes.
Super into old dudes. Loves a miniskirt.
Mm-hmm. A pleather miniskirt.
Well, of course. 1989, baby.
Man. That's how we do.
I think of this? I don't know. There's a lot of onlys.
Is that a bad thing, though? Like, do the onlys, like, make or break the chorus?
I just always think that when a song repeats a word in a row, like, over and over and over again, it was just two people sitting there, or seven people, or one person, depending on how many writers you have. But they're sitting there, and they're going, what words do we use? I don't know. Just say only a bunch of times.
I don't find that problematic, to be honest with you. You wouldn't. No. Shots fired. I understand, like, from a meter perspective. I just kicked that thing. It's not great, but I think it's fine.
Don't say from a meter perspective it's fine. Like, there are other one syllable words.
No. Well, only has two syllables. Oh, English
fudge.
Teacher Katie.
Fudge. Just ruins my credibility.
This ruins your credibility. Honestly, they need to take away your degree.
Oh boy. I feel like a real dummy now.
The problem I have with the chorus is the line, "Can't you hear me knocking?" Because, like, I understand, like, knocking as if it's, like, a door. You're knocking on a door. But at the same time, like, he doesn't get back to finish that thought.
Well, no, it's the personification of the heart, right? So can't you hear me, as in my heart, knocking? It's like my heart. Can't you hear my heartbeat?
I don't buy that.
Yeah,
definitely
is.
His heart is
talking.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, what sound does your heart literally make? It makes a heartbeat, and a heartbeat could be like a knocking. I'm okay.
I don't think a heartbeat can be a knocking. I don't agree. I disagree with that. Heartbeat is not a knocking.
I think he's personifying the heart, and his heart is knocking, and it's like a heartbeat.
That's, you know, these I just noticed in these lyrics, like they the dropped G that we were discussing before at the end of the talking, and then knocking.
Yeah, there's a maybe G that's there. Just
interesting.
Google's fault.
Stupid Google.
The part of the chorus that doesn't work for me is, I tried to fool you, but it wouldn't play.
Yeah, that, does he discuss that in the song? I haven't, like, read these lyrics thoroughly, but, like, does he discuss,
we're very
like,
prepared today.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's early. Despite the fact that I've listened to this song probably, like, thousands and thousands
of times. Yeah, 1 jillion times.
Yeah, approximately. I don't do math. Like, I don't know the words to this song at all. At all, I know the chorus because it's all onlys.
Right. It's easy to remember.
But yeah, does he get back to the I tried to fool you bit? Does that happen?
And how exactly was he trying to fool her? Fool her into thinking he was too cool and not emotional?
Well, you've read and took notes on the lyrics. Can you tell me, like, spoiler alert for the last 2 minutes of this song, does he try to fool her in this song, in these lyrics? Does he discuss that?
The only part that I could connect to fooling right now, it might come to me later, it's like the second line of the song says anybody's mask can break.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then let's just, you just read this first verse and let's just go.
These first two lines, oh boy.
Are sensitive.
Are stupid.
Pobre Alice Cooper.
Anybody's dream can fall apart. Anybody's mask can break. Couldn't tell you how I wanted you enough to make you want to stay. I never said the words out loud. I guess I couldn't get them straight. Baby, give me one more chance before you walk away.
Can I just talk about the way Alice Cooper sings?
Yes.
And this, I don't know if I can do it with raspy throat first thing in the morning, but before you walk away. I never said the words out loud. I guess I couldn't get them straight.
I don't know what he's doing in this song.
It's like he's putting on some sort of weird affect
on his
voice.
Well, and he does the first two lines in like a super whispery voice.
Yeah.
Anybody's dream can fall apart.
But then it picks up. Then this song gets like straight up rocking. And that's when he walked away.
Yep. So to me, the first two lines have nothing to do with anything.
No.
Anybody's dream can fall apart. Anybody's mask can break. But then so that's so general. It's so broad. And then we get into this, like, very specific talk about his relationship with a fine young lady.
Do you think he's, like, setting up what you're about to hear? Like, hey, audience, I'm going to get real. All right? My dream fell apart. And so my mask is broken. So now I have to tell you about what's going on inside.
In my heart.
Alice Cooper / real name Vincent Fournier.
Oh.
Or Fournier. Fournier, I'm going to say, because it sounds fancy.
I like it.
I'm going to tell you what it's like to be only a man who hurts.
Inside.
And then.
Maybe you're right. Maybe he's trying to, like, break it down. Look.
And then addressing the rest of the song in second person.
Right. Those first two lines are just to say to all of us, to all the folks out there, this could happen to you too. Mm. This could happen to anybody. Mm. You thought, and I thought, that I was just a tough dude with a lot of eyeliner on.
Yeah.
And a dangly, dangly earring.
But as it turns out,
my heart has things to say.
I was just, like, Alice Cooper looks like his face is melting off of his skull.
That's just mean.
And so it's interesting to see him. How old do you think he is at this point?
He's like 100?
50s. Well, it looks like he's 100. It looks like he's 100. And so to see him with like the little bit of eyeliner and like the teased hair.
Did you just call that a little bit of eyeliner?
Relatively speaking. I think when you're going to stand him next to like Vince Neil.
One of the guys of Cinderella. Needs to watch the video just so you can see how much eyeliner Brad thinks is a little bit.
Well, yeah, okay, that's fine. Everybody watch this video because Alice Cooper could use the money. So,
all right. So what do you think about the lyrics in this verse?
Ooh, man, when I was 9 years old, I was like, yes, preach, Alice.
And what about now that you're...
Now that I'm an adult man, I ironically say, preach, Alice. They're lame as hell. It's just like lame ass, like just, I don't want to say nonsense because it's not nonsense, but it is garbage. Mm. It is,
trash.
The title is trash.
Can we just move on to the second verse now?
I guess we didn't really talk about any of these words here. You know, Come on. You don't want to talk about, I couldn't tell you how I wanted you enough to make you say, I never said the words out loud.
It hurts too much.
You don't want to break it down because it hurts too much.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Teresa here because you've already opened that can of worms.
Hi, Teresa.
So she, like, we were joking about, she's like the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying that, like, Teresa's association with that movie almost causes her to think that that makes the song good as well.
Yes.
And I think I have the same feelings about this song.
So your inner 9-year-old is clouding your judgment.
Exactly.
You're like, Katie, I know that I'm supposed to say it's lame, but I love it.
It's tugging at my heartstrings with its dangly earring on and saying, why do you hate me?
Aww. Well, you don't have to hate it. You can talk about why you like
song.
It.
I listen to this song so much. Without listening to the lyrics.
In the last 3 days, we've listened to this song so much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Alexa.
Am I supposed to feel bad for this man? He didn't tell his partner how much he cared about her, and she's fed up, and now he's like, no.
Now that she's leaving.
I was just too much of a man to do it before.
He blames his not telling her how he feels on their breakup, or he blames their breakup on not telling her how he feels in this first verse.
Does he?
Yeah, he says, I never said the words out loud. I guess I couldn't get them straight. Baby, give me one more chance before you walk away.
Right.
Or their impending breakup, I guess.
The reason that he's telling her how he feels is because they're breaking up. And I'm like, too little, too late, Alice.
I never said the words out loud. Guess I couldn't get them straight. Baby, give me one more chance before you walk away.
Give me that second verse.
All right. Every time I take it to the edge.
I can't.
Oh, that startled our dog. Every time I'm so afraid. Don't you know I cry my eyes out, babe?
Please proceed.
I'm trying. Every time you look away. Ooh. Oh, I almost dropped a tear, but I caught it just in time. I'd say those things you want to hear if you'd help me try.
I mean,
it's so good.
Get out of town. It's so good.
For the purposes of our podcast, yes.
Well, tell me what's so good about it.
Oh, the line, oh, I almost dropped a tear, but I caught it just in time. Is that not a thing of beauty?
It's so inconsistent. The line before
that. It's got me tearing up. I know.
Brad is actually weeping. He's moved.
My heartstrings.
Don't worry. I thought he was going to cry his eyes out, babe. But Brad has caught his tear just in time. So that I really have a huge problem with, because you can't say, don't you know I cry my eyes out, babe. If you're crying your eyes out, that is a lot of tears. Like
your eyes are coming out of your skull.
Right.
That's how right. hard you're crying.
It is a flood of tears. You can't then say
an eyeball.
In the next line, I almost dropped one tear. Like, make up your mind, Alice.
/ Bruce.
Are you crying your eyes out? Or are you just squeezing out one tear and then catching it?
I like this song more than Poison. More than Alice Cooper's Poison. Not the band Poison. Let's not get that confused.
I don't know if I have a preference. I think Poison might be more fun.
I want to know what he's talking about. If you'd help me try. Try to do what?
If you'd, you got to look at the line before it.
I'd say
those things you want to hear if you'd help me try.
Makes sense.
That is a full sentence.
So every time he takes it to the edge, Katie.
So the whole thought there is every time it, I take it to the edge every time I'm so afraid. Don't you know I cry my eyes out, babe, every time you look away. So he cries his eyes out when he takes it to the edge and when he's afraid. Is her looking away what causes him to take it to the edge and feel afraid? Like, she just glances in the other room and he's riddled with fear and
don't
he has
you know
to
I
weep.
Cry my eyes out, babe, every time you look away.
Or are those separate
what
thoughts?
What a wuss. What a wuss.
No, I mean, I am totally on board with, you know, men feeling like they can express their emotions.
Especially like a badass MRF-er like Alice Cooper.
I just don't appreciate
feeling
that,
feelings.
That he says he cries his eyes out and then he walks it back. It's like, no,
well,
Alice,
I almost dropped one tear.
No, I wasn't really crying my eyes out. It's just the one tear. But I caught it. Don't worry. Also, like, what does he want her to do to help him try? I feel like he's almost blaming her for him not being able to communicate his emotional state like an adult. Like, if only she would be more supportive, then he would be able to allow his heart to talk.
Hmm, that's true.
And I'm like, not feeling it.
Why do you think he says it's only his heart talking?
I was thinking about that, too.
Do you think it's just because he could sing the word only? Because only sounds good when sung?
Yes.
Yeah.
And especially when it's sung four times in a row, two lines in a row.
Right.
Because only is dismissive.
Ooh, dang.
You know what I mean? Like, it's only my heart talking makes it sound like it's not important. But
touché.
It clearly is important in the context of this fine piece of poetry.
Every time I take it to the edge, every time I'm so afraid, don't you know I cry my eyes out, babe, every time you look away. Oh, I almost dropped a tear, but I caught it just in time. I'd say those things you want to hear if you help me, helmet.
Shall we knock out this bridge?
I think so.
Am I reading it? Are you reading it? Doesn't matter.
You go ahead.
All right. Well, I don't want to hide away without you, baby. Don't you go and run away. Come and help me, baby. Just a little help, baby. Oh, my little baby.
The oh, my little baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is weird.
Do you think that was the Bruce Roberts contribution?
I couldn't say.
It was like, listen, I had this great line with my Streisand songs. I just want to try it out here, Alice/Vincent Fernier.
Oh, my little baby.
Oh, my little baby.
That's creepy. Do you think it's oh, my little baby because the lady is practically a child?
I think so. I was going to say, maybe that's why they cast these ladies in the video that they did.
There are two super young ladies
right.
in the video.
As soon as... Okay, so the video is magical. It's, you know, Alice Cooper and his band, you know, in their rehearsal space, getting all sensitive. Alice sitting on a stool.
Mm-hmm. You're
and,
always sitting on a stool when you're sensitive.
Yeah, is there a more sensitive piece of furniture?
No.
Like a love seat is not as sensitive.
No, because when you're feeling that emotional, you can't sit in a comfortable chair.
Absolutely. You're raw.
Right.
You got
right.
raw nerves. And so he's got this, like I said, like, you know, Playboy model, 19-year-old blondie, pleather skirt wearing girlfriend mm-hmm. who's leaving him. And at the end is when Steven Tyler comes in with his all-access backstage pass. Or at least a hand model for Steven Tyler. Because
right.
we don't see him, even though we hear him. What? How does he sound, Katie?
I get to go!
Over the last like minute and a half of this song. She gets in the car with Steven Tyler, in the limo with Steven Tyler. And then Alice Cooper...
Oh, wait. The license plate says Steven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I love.
Sure.
I love that detail.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
And there's a little like Aerosmith dongle attached to that VIP all access
yep.
pass.
Yeah.
And then Alice Cooper turns around and there just happens to be another bleach blonde, 19-year-old looking Playboy-esque pleather skirt.
Almost exactly the same.
Almost
as the
exactly
other girl.
The same. That's she's there, evidently also into super old dudes.
Mm-hmm. She's like leaning against the wall in a sexy pose.
And Alice Cooper just scoops her right up.
Right.
Like, forget that lady that I've just poured my heart out for.
Right, right.
Who was helping me try.
Thus undercutting the entire song.
Yeah, exactly.
Just making all of this 100% meaningless.
Alice DGNF. He doesn't give an F.
Oh, I was like, what are you saying?
Not one fudge given. So yeah, so then for the last like minute, Steven Tyler goes full Steven Tyler.
And I love every second of it. It's maximum, my favorite part of the song.
Maximum Steven Tyler.
Yes.
And then Alice Cooper just like joins in with him and also goes full Steven Tyler.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
I don't like the rest of the song, but the end makes me like so happy. It fills me with joy.
Katie, grade this song. Lyrically, grade it.
Like a C minus for most of it.
C minus.
And then like an A plus 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 for the end.
For the Steven Tyler noise.
Yes.
A plus thousand, I give it.
Well, here's where I'm a hypocrite. Like, Aerosmith has a lot of lame songs.
I do not care for most of them.
I love Aerosmith. I'm fully on board.
Even, like, their stuff from, like, Angel. You know the song Angel?
Oh, I don't know song titles, Brad. You already know this.
My bad. I thought you might remember something.
No.
Baby, you're my angel.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in. But these are also songs I've never really thought about the lyrics for. Two. That sentence got away from me.
Yeah. You just, you know, words.
Just
better,
words.
Better at writing them down than speaking them
out. That's
true. Is that the...
But, you know, all those early 90s Aerosmith songs with Liv Tyler and Alicia Silverstone in the videos. Love it. Totally on board.
Yeah. I'm not. I prefer, like, the Ragdoll,
love
in an elevator,
that too.
Dude
Obviously.
Looks like a lady kind of era.
And
I would, without a doubt, before you can even ask me this question, turn this all the way up in my car, lower all of the windows. I don't care where I am and what time of year it is. I am blasting this song. I am pantomiming. I am, like, you know, fist shaking, pouring my heart out, singing along with, like, the three words of this song I know.
I would
only
be
heart and talking.
Right there with you. Like, if we were stuck in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
I would still roll the windows down and sing it loud, and I wouldn't care if anybody heard us.
Loudly, proudly.
In fact, I'd be like, you're welcome, everyone in traffic, because we are offering you some great entertainment.
Alice Cooper sang this song.
Get in it. Get into it.
Feel it. Feel it, traffic. Feel it.
So, yeah, I would love to... I was going to say I love it, but that's a lie. I would love to sing along with this.
Yeah, sure.
And you love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So much. So much. So much. Should wrap it up then, Sarah. Goodbyes here. Again, this has been Decomposition. I want to thank you guys for all the likes, shares, following us on Twitter, listening. You know, the podcast has really picked up over the past couple weeks in a way that is a little bit overwhelming.
That's super exciting.
Super exciting. You can reach us on Twitter at decomp_pod. Shoot us an email at decompositionpod@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page now because we are joining the ranks of all the other old people on Facebook. That's at Decomposition Podcast. And I guess that's all we have to say about Alice Cooper for now. So you guys get on that Vivo and listen, and you just chill till the next episode. Touching the laptop screen as if it's a tablet. Once this thing loads the entire way, I'm just skipping like straight to the end with the Steven Tyler. Let's see. There she is.
Oh, there one side goes. By side. I think, are they twins?
That's how you know that there's like more than one lady in this video.
Right, they had to show them next to each other so we could tell them apart. All right, here she goes. She's getting in the limo.
It's like a white limo, too.
He's still screaming, I'm talking to you.
That bass player's feeling it. Here it comes.
There it is. Yucka, yucka, go! Oh, it's the best.
It took 8 hours.
Yeah.
8 hours to record that.
8 hours of recording. Time well spent.